Hi, friends. We greet you again today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I trust it's a good day wherever you are, or evening, or morning, whatever this time this broadcast may reach you. And I trust that you'll give us your undivided attention for the next few minutes. The title of our program, Words of Hope, is just what we hope to bring to you. And maybe you've already received this message of hope. Maybe you know Jesus Christ already and a free pardon of sin, and you are a Christian. We'd like for you to do something for us this month. We're asking all the Christians that listen to our broadcast if they would just write us a letter, tell us all about your conversion. Who helped you to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? It may have been a neighbor, your local minister, a pastor, or some friend that taken an interest in your spiritual welfare. And we'd like to hear from you. If you'd just write us and tell us all about how you found the Lord. You'll receive our address at the conclusion of this broadcast. And now shall we look into the Word of God. It is God's eternal truths. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never. There's no other God, my dear friend, God so-called that is, that could say this. God's word is eternal, and it's going to be with us forever. Let's talk about great facts of life that we find that is true to nature, it is true to form in everybody's life. And here we find God speaking in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So these verses tell us several things, and there are several things in the Bible today that we want to consider. And first of all, the fact that there is a God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1, said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So we believe today as Christians in the biblical account of creation. You know, a great scientist one time said, I know what's in a certain seed. He said, I know the ingredients. I can make one the same size. I can make one the same color. And I can plant the seed that I make, and it has no life in it. But the seed that God has made, I can plant it, and it will grow and bring forth fruit, each after its own kind. And that is according to God's plan. That is according to the biblical account that God created the heavens and the earth. And so I'm glad today for the fact that I know that there's a God in heaven, to know that he created all things, and it's much simpler, much easier to accept the fact that there is a God and that he created all things. And you know, before there could ever be a watch, there had to be a watchmaker. And before there could ever be birds of the air and fish of the seas, there had to be a creator that created them. So we just didn't evolve from some matter, and some million years later it began to evolve and make something else, and finally it became an ape and a monkey and then to man. But the Bible said everything brought forth after its own kind. And you know, God said about man, he said, let us make man in our image. And incidentally, we believe in the triune, the Trinity, or the triune Godhead. God said, let us. So that signifies that there was more than one in the creation. We're not talking about three gods, or we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They each have their part in redemption, but they hold distinctive but harmonious offices in the great plan of God. So he breathed into man's nostrils, and he became a living soul. So you must accept the fact today that there is a God. He said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 5. He said, all things were made by him, that is, by God, and without him was not anything made that was made. So friend, it's simpler and easier to accept God's account of creation, and that we came from God, and he breathed into man's nostrils, and he became a living soul. He said, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And you see, God taking the first man, Adam, he formed him out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. So that's where man came from. And so God, he made man. He created him in his own image. I mean, the image of God created him male and female. That's found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27. And he said, I have made the earth and created it a man upon it. Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 12. So God has created everything upon the earth. And so God holds us responsible. See, we are today are what we call a free moral being. That means that you have the power of choice. We have a mind to reason, and we can look into the heavens. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. So God holds man responsible today as what he will do with his son. You know, Pilate, when Jesus was placed before him in the judgment hall, he said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he said, his blood be upon us and our children. And that's the way it is today, friend, that man holds you responsible for what you do with Jesus. Your own soul is given into your power. Mom and dad cannot be responsible for your sins. And you today have the freedom of choice. And the Bible said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Man is without excuse. In Romans chapter 1 and verses 20, he said, man is without excuse, and the whole world is guilty before God. He states in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. We know according to the graveyards. We know according to the funeral parlors and other things today that make us know that man is going to die. You cannot live forever upon this earth. The Bible tells us about a reasonable time to live. He said 70, which would be about 70 years. And if we should live any longer, we would be living on borrowed time. So many people today, maybe some of you that are listening to my voice, you're past the age 70. And if you are, then you're living on borrowed time. Now God has not only created man and made him responsible for his sin, but he has written the book which is called the Bible. It said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, these men just didn't write a Bible by their own strength or their own knowledge. There were people that were separated by space, that meaning lived in one place, whereas others lived in another place, and the Bible was written over a span of many years. And we know today that God's Word is eternal because it's the bestseller, and it teaches man about God. It teaches us about sin, teaches us how to be saved and how to live our Christian life. And you know, history books that are written here, they become outdated in just a short time. But this is a book that will never be outdated. It's always been, it always will be the bestseller. Why? Because God said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never. And he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable unto us for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished and all good works. So the Bible is profitable to you and I if we just read it and accept it in our life and let it be our daily guide in our lives. Then the Lord has promised to bless us and be with us and to help us in our every task of our life. So the Word of God, you know, it's quick and powerful. It was the Word of God that came to my life. You know, good advice and good counsel with other people is good, but it's limited. But you see, the Word of God, there's something about it that is so quick and so powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts into our heart and our innermost being and makes us realize that we're sinners. You see, people don't like the Word of God because it cuts into their lives, you see. And God intended it to be so because we're not perfect. We're born as sinners. And so God not only has given the book, but in this book, he has revealed to you and I how that we can be saved. First of all, we must accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He said in John chapter 3, verses 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world could be saved. And so God today is waiting with outstretched arms, with his love and mercy, wanting to save us. Yes, he's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so this is the fullness of time, friend. Nearly 2,000 years ago, God had prophesied and foretold the story that a Savior would be born and he had saved his people from their sins. In Romans 6:23, he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. You see, we don't do anything at all in our power or strength to save us. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what must I do, you may ask? Well, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a free gift, but in order to obtain it, you must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do that simply by praying and asking for the mercy of God and asking him to come into your life and take his abode there, because he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sip with him and he with me. So there was a jailer in the Acts of the Apostles. If you remember, two preachers were placed in jail and there was an earthquake, and the jailer, he was so excited about this, and he ran in, fell down before these preachers and said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved today wherever you are, if you would just bow with us in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as I come before you, I thank you for the blessings of life and for the blessings of this day. I thank you, dear Lord, that you gave your Son for the salvation of lost humanity. There's no other name under heaven given whereby that we must be saved. Bless, I pray today, those that are listening to the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.